What's up, everybody, and welcome to Elite POV, where it's podcast time, and you know what that means. I'm one of your hosts, Phil Cataldo, but you can call me Philium, alongside the man who I am driving crazy production-wise, because I got a heart out at 7:55, Mr. Kyle Masters. What is up?
It's okay. We can fast forward through this week's Dynamite. It wasn't exciting. I know we all have our thoughts on it, but it wasn't exciting. It was just a Dynamite. But we can fast forward through to this week. Not a lot of news to go over. A little bit, but that's okay.
Absolutely. Yeah, shout out to Kimmy in the chat. Yes, I am wearing this hoodie because it is cold as fuck. I hate the winter. I can't wait till we get warm weather again. It's going to be a tough time.
That's your Puerto Rican self. That's
I hate it. I hate it so much. The other voice you hear giggling and laughing over there is Miss Jackie Rodriguez. What is up?
What is up? Long, crazy week. As y'all may have seen on Twitter, but yeah, it's me, the one and only me.
Are you sure? Are you sure you're not the fake Jackie Rodriguez that we saw the other day? Are you sure?
Are you sure 10 minutes in, you're not going to switch your profile picture to somebody else?
Yeah, I'm not going to
she's got a filter on right now. That's not actually her.
I'm a hologram. What you're seeing is not the real me. There's like two other me's running around. Yeah, Twitter's freaking wild, But yeah, I'm up here. It's Friday. We're living good. So I'm happy.
Well, it's just your first time listening. Welcome. We do this show as of right now every Friday, but we're most likely going to try our best to move back to Thursdays. It's just easier.
Yeah.
With the way everything is. And you know, I work in retail, so my busy season's coming up. So weekends and stuff like that's very hard. So stay tuned for that.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Oh, every year I'm usually super strict about waiting until after Thanksgiving, but I have let the reins go. It is Christmas time in the Cataldo's house, and I ain't stopping. All right. We full on Christmas. We skipping Thanksgiving. All right. I don't want to hear
the Grinch is already playing on the TV.
Oh, I already watched my first Christmas movie, and it was Amelia Clark's The Last Christmas.
All right.
Okay. Shout out to Nate for that sub.
So Brother Heel.
All day, every day. Oh, yeah, so it's going to be good times. Also, we do this show on twitch.tv/ElitePOV and youtube.com/ElitePOV. Also, big news in the Patreon world. Patreon.com/ElitePOV.
Oh, yeah.
As a creator, we just got an email saying that we can upload videos directly to Patreon. Woo-hoo. So, yes, for anybody who remembers, when Jackie recorded her reaction to what was it, Dax versus Cash in the Owen Hart tournament match, and we could not upload it because we kept getting copyright strike. That will be going up on the Patreon very soon. Make sure but we could upload directly to Patreon now, so we don't have to worry about copyrights and stuff like that. So yay. Very exciting time if you are a Patreon, patreon.com/ElitePOV. To get that stuff. And we are still working on the merch store link. We have to figure it out. We have a full gear shirt up. I just bought mine.
I said it for like the last 4 weeks. Yeah. I'm like, I'm going to get it.
I know. There's a lot going on for all of us right now. So if you guys are interested in the shirt, shout out to Frankie Bebop.
Yay.
This is a Frankie Bebop exclusive that I'm wearing right now. Stunning. Oh. So keep an eye. If you guys want any of the merch, hit us up. Go to our link tree on twitter.com/ElitePOV, and it'll be up there. You click in, get our full gear shirt, match with all of us because we're all going to full gear. But with all that being said, there's a lot to talk about because even though it was a lesser Dynamite this week, we have dueling opinions, I should say, about what happened on Dynamite.
That's what makes a good podcast, right?
It is what makes a good podcast. Yes. So I know the graphic is about House of Black. You're seeing this later on
that
YouTube
was for you.
If you're listening, right? But I want to start with what I think ruined my night. Because you start off the show with this, and honestly, I could not recover.
Buckle because up, people.
I was so angry, okay? So if you missed it, we get Darby versus Jay Lethal to open the show. The match was excellent, which we knew it would be. I know a lot of people don't like what Jay Lethal is doing right now, but I always enjoyed him as a wrestler. I liked him when he was Black Machismo. I like Jay Lethal. I'm a big fan of
Jay
Lethal.
I was a big Black Machismo guy. God, I can't speak
English. Jay Lethal's awesome. And you remember a couple months ago, people were bitching that they weren't using Jay Lethal. Now they're using too many Ring of Honor guys, but we'll get to that in a little bit. But as far as the first segment, we get Darby and Jay Lethal was awesome, but they kept teasing that Jay Lethal had help from an old friend of Darby. So we're like, all right, who could it be? Who could it be? We're thinking the indies and stuff like that. Who did Darby work? And it's the one thing that AEW does that I hate that they do, because it's like in Tony Khan's mind, this is a big deal. Like, oh, we're bringing in this guy, Christian Cage, and we all expect to see him Punk, you know? Which now, looking back,
in hindsight,
I'm so happy it was Christian Cage, right? But still, like, and it's Jeff Jarrett. And when I tell you, I was so like, are you fucking kidding me? Because I hate Jeff Jarrett.
He bought his shirt right away.
I hated him in WWF. I hated him in WCW and in fucking TNA and all that shit. He's fucking awful. I don't get why people like him. He's stupid. If you want to hire, like, they announced that they hired him for backstage stuff, cool. Do all you got to do. He's a great wrestling mind. His family's been in the business all these years. Cool. I don't want to see him on TV, especially when we're not fucking getting the talent that are signed to the roster. Like, Kip Sabian just came back. He can't get any fucking TV time. And people are like, oh, well, Penelope's hurt. Whoop-de fucking do. Penelope wrestled without him. Why can't he wrestle without her? Where the fuck is the entire women's division? Just doesn't exist unless it's in that one segment. You could have gave that to them. Why is Butcher and Blade only fighting on Darker Elevation? Put them on TV. Give them a random match. Like, you could have did anything with that time. But we have to sit through fucking Double J. Probably every week we're going to get a segment with him because he's about to go on a feud with Sting. And if it's anything like Chris Jericho, he's going to get shoved down our fucking throats. It's ridiculous. Like, so we got JW saying, dude, look jacked though. I don't care how fucking jacked he looked. He could take steroids in his fucking neck while he's on TV. I don't want to see him. AEW is supposed to be the alternative. This is a WWE move by bringing in these fucking veterans.
That's where I was confused.
Darby is already over.
I thought he was still with the Fed.
So I
was,
did I.
I was so confused when you showed him. I'm like, wait a minute. Wasn't he with the Fed?
And it's so fucking annoying because, like, we see all the turmoil backstage, and I understand that, like, the CM Punk thing seems to be over, especially with Cabana showing up tonight, which I got my thoughts on that, too. But, like, it's just, like, you have a roster full of people that so badly want to work on TV that they're begging you to run house shows, and that's why you're bringing in someone like Jeff Jarrett, who reportedly, if they ever get to that point, will help with house shows, is, like, you need to get these guys more TV time. It makes me so angry because that's how you start the show. And it's just like, all right, fucking here we go. Tony Khan being a fucking mega fanboy like he always is in the bad way, because most of the times it's in a good way, but there are moments where I feel like it goes a little too far and he gets it. Like, I can't wait to hear what he says on Busted Open next week when he's like, this is a great signing for AEW. Oh man, I remember seeing Double J wrestle in fucking the little suburb in Chicago. My dad brought me backstage and he shook my hand. And ever since then, I was like, I'm going to hire you one day. Fuck out of here, bro. I don't want Jeff Jarrett on TV. I don't want him in a storyline with Darby. I don't want him anywhere near the Jay Lethal stuff. I don't want him and Sting in 2022. Both dudes are like in their 60s. I can't. Jackie, you're the level-headed one. Tell me why I should like this, and then I'll say no.
I'm not going to tell you why you should like this because I wasn't particularly a fan of it either. It was very confusing because going into this, I'm going to just preface this by saying I wasn't a huge intrigued person with this whole Darby and Jay Lethal feud. You know, they've been producing good matches out of it, but in terms of paying attention to the feud, it hasn't really been hooking me in to begin with. So when they added this element of like, oh, we have this person that knows your, like, you know, your secrets and stuff like that, I was just like, okay, well, I mean, maybe this is going to add an element to it, but who could it possibly be? I would have never guessed it was going to be Jeff Jarrett.
He know his secrets?
Like, and what? I was like, okay, but then that's telling me that he knows stuff about Sting, not necessarily that he knows stuff about Darby Allin, but I'm like, did I miss something? Like, did I mishear that? Like, and so it had me like kind of like the question marks all over my head. And I'm like, I don't get that, but okay. I agree with you on a lot of points. Like, it was a big old flop for me where I was like, okay, this doesn't do anything. You know, the deflating balloon. Yes, it was a deflating balloon 100%. I try to go, this is where you call me the level-headed person. I try to err on the side of, I understand that not everything on a show is going to be catered towards me. That there are going to be things that I'm like, this isn't something that I'm excited about, but maybe there are people that are going to be like, oh, this is something that I can get behind. The general consensus that I've been seeing has been a lot of people that are like, it doesn't do it for me, but maybe there's somebody out there that's like really excited about this. I haven't met them yet, but it was a big miss for me overall, for the same reasons where I'm like, you have all these people that are struggling to get this TV time, and you're going to go in this direction. If you want to have him as a backstage guy and, you know, like use pick his brain, great. If you want to have this as a short-lived storyline and then have most of his stuff done as being like a producer and stuff like that, or have him on the business side of things, great.
But nah, no great. It's already gone on too long.
Like,
it's already gone on too long.
Please don't let this, like, don't let this, well, it's already there. What are you going to do? There's no backseas. You can't take it back.
We need to take it back, bro. I can't.
You want to go in a time machine? You want to jump in a time machine?
Is it too late? Do we still have a warranty on it? Can I return this?
Fuck,
you can't return it. It's already there.
I still have the receipt.
We have so many people on a roster that they are not using and they're not developing. And now Jeff Jarrett has to get Darby over. And I saw Kimmy talking in the chat earlier how they need to cycle out Darby. They don't. Just tell the story that they were probably going to tell anyway with Darby and Sting. Let that be the story. Someone turns on somebody.
I bet you it's leaning to that. Maybe that's how.
Which is fine.
Maybe that's how he knows the secrets, because he learned it. Learned them from Sting, who's been mentoring
Darby.
Maybe,
but like fucking Jeff Jarrett, what? Like give me a fucking break,
yeah,
man.
It just, I don't know. Like that, it was it was so weird to me.
It's
like,
weird.
Meanwhile, you have people. You had House of Black threatening to leave. Two of the members threatening to leave a couple months ago. Well, one of them threatening to leave, where they had to fucking sit down and get everything together. And then you had Buddy, you know, doing the Instagram thing that made people think he was talking about leaving. And then where they have to like sit down and make peace with everybody. Andrade seems to be making fucking enemies with everybody, complaining on Twitter that they don't say happy birthday to him like a fucking child. And then you have all these, this talent that is now begging to leave because you're not using them and wanting to go back to WWE, where they're just going to be fucking sitting and catering because everybody can't be used all at once. But it's like, use them. And then, so Jay in the chat saying, totally overshadowed Cole Carter. Who the fuck is Cole Carter? Why is he on my TV screen too? Like, it's these things of like, what are we doing here? Like, this is not what Dynamite was. Like, use talent and use them in the right way. Kimmy, I understand he was in NXT, but who the fuck still watches NXT? All right? Why is this dude, like, he got no reaction when he joined.
Wait, is Cole Carter the guy that they swam with the fishes, dude? Is that
Yeah, I think so. But it's like, so Cole Carter debuts with the Factory and no one cared. So then you have him be in this Jay Lethal group that no one cares about, which is clearly just holding pattern until
It was a rhetorical question.
Like, fuck Cole Carter, get him off TV and start booking the people that are actually there, that have been there for years. You know, Tony Khan, after the COVID era, gave this whole thing and was like, you know, everybody that helped him with those Atlanta tapings, those first set of tapings when they didn't know, you know, when they were going to get back to live crowds or whatever, when they did that crazy 2-day where they taped like weeks of Dynamite. Oh, we're going to take care of them. Really? Because you're not. Because every time Best Friends are on TV, they lose. Fucking, you know, a lot of the Dark Order doesn't barely exist anymore. You keep teasing members leaving or they're leaving on their own. Anna Jay leaves the group for no fucking reason. She just did, whatever. And then now you have like Kip Sabian's not being used. And it's like, he just came back. And like, we were in Queens. We heard that, you know, ovation he got when he came out. Like, I've seen him at a couple of local shows. Like, people are into him. Let's give him TV time.
So,
but no, we get Jeff Jarrett.
I do understand what you're saying. I think this is another, I think this is another case of, I think they got too many people. I honestly think they have too many people to book, to give them a sufficient booking time on with barely 3 hours a week of television. I'm not including Dark and Elevation here because we can't really include them right now. Because the main goal is to be on TV, not on YouTube.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think this is where they're running into that issue now, that you've signed too many people, and there's a lot of people who are going to have egos. It's wrestling. Professional wrestling is full of egos where, you know, if they don't get booked for 1 week, they think the world's falling or the world's coming to an end. It's just like they don't have enough time to book all these. They have too many major stars on this company and too many major, not only now stars, but stars in development that could be bigger stars if they're booked. But again, at the same time, it's like, I think they're having an issue finding that healthy balance, but you can't really have a healthy balance if you only have so little time to book every week. So I think this is where the main focus should be. Yes, I agree, like less of these old farts coming in and taking up that time. And more, I think a lot of the focus, alluded focus, should be to make maybe moving Rampage. I know there's probably, again, I've said this, like, I sound like a broken record. I've said this for weeks. But there's probably things we don't know about TV network-wise with Rampage. I guarantee you they want to make Rampage bigger. They want to have that be a multi-hour show eventually, because you can't survive with the amount of television you have right now every week with the roster size that you have. You can't. It's showing right now. We're basically seeing it right in front of our eyes that people are being pushed aside because they don't have enough time. So I think it's going to happen that Rampage, and that's what needs to happen. Rampage needs to be 2 hours. You don't have to have a roster split. You can have 4 hours of television a week with one roster. It's easily booked. Mm-hmm. It's tough to watch when in reality there's probably network things that we don't see it. It's not said. It's like the network has a certain contract in place that it's got to be 1 hour television until this date. And then we can re-talk TV again. You know what I mean? So I think they're kind of stuck. It's not like it's the TV network's fault. That's kind of AEW and Tony Khan's fault for signing so many people when they did.
Yeah.
And now you've run into this situation now.
But also, not just even with the TV time itself, but it's like, you know, there's this criticism that, like, you know, AEW's going to get to the point where they're starting to use the same people over and over again in the same spots because you're not building any stars. Like, yeah. you're supposed to be the alternative. AEW did a great job the first 2 years of working with the talent that they had. You know, you had Janela, you had Jimmy Havoc before he ruined his fucking life being an idiot. Like, they made do with what they had. And it's like, that's what made the company so great and made it feel like a breath of fresh air. Right. And 90% of it still feels like that, right? After the Jarrett stuff. You know, besides a couple of moments here and there, it was still a great Dynamite. It's just my expectations and a lot of people's expectations are higher because they did it for 2 years with barely anything. Before WWE released half their roster, they were making great shows with what they had. And it's like, you know, you keep having Brian Cage and the Embassy show up, and we can transition over to this, but it's like I get there in Baltimore this week, but like, Jesus Christ, with these Ring of Honor matches, like, the Jericho, yeah. And then the Samoa Joe thing, and it's like, it's cool to see Samoa Joe wrestling, and Jericho's having like the run of his career, and it's fun, but like, you need to filter these to Rampage.
Yeah,
like I don't.
The Ring of Honor stuff.
Wardlow on TV on Wednesday in a big spot. Don't just rehash what they did on Rampage. Like, didn't Hobbs attack him on Rampage?
He did, yeah.
And so the crazy thing that's happening is, whenever something really good happens on Rampage, like, and I remember, I think 6 to 8 months ago, they did it with a Serena Deeb match, and Serena Deeb fought somebody on Rampage, and it was really good. So then they put the same exact match on Dynamite. It was either Serena or Jamie Hayter, and it's like, that's not where Rampage should be. It should be an extension of Dynamite. Yeah. So it's like, that's what it's been always booked as. So to me, the biggest issue is like, Wardlow should have addressed the Hobbs thing, whether it was in the ring or in the back or on the stage. Don't redo it because, you know, half your audience doesn't watch Rampage. Like, or maybe have Hobbs get a quick match and destroy somebody, and then you lean over to that. But like, I don't get this need of like
the Ring of Honor stuff can be fixed. That's easily fixed. Yeah. And we've mentioned it on the show before. You can get rid of one of Dark Elevation because they're both the same show. There's no difference. There's just one has the word Elevation in front of it. You're not elevating anyone. You're just having now talent just destroy random jobbers. It's lost its flavor, right? Save that for the live events when you do that next year. You can get rid of Elevation and put Ring of Honor there and have that just be on YouTube. Do whatever you want. You have planned to do with Ring of Honor on there and set the storylines for there. And then you can slightly do little things maybe on TV just to get people. And then while you do that thing on TV, be like, oh, by the way, we just saw this like Ring of Honor match on Dynamite. By the way, Ring of Honor every week live on the AEW YouTube right now. You know what I mean? Like promote it at the same time. You can do little things. You don't have to forcefully put Ring of Honor more on TV than AEW, because we run into that exact problem we were just talking about. Like now you're with this so much alluded time you have a week. Now you're alluding more time to Ring of Honor stuff than your actual Dynamite stuff. And
you have people complaining about like, where's Brian Cage? Blah blah blah. The one person, maybe his wife is the only one on Twitter saying that. But so Brian Cage and Samoa Joe are the main event just because you wanted to have the Will Hobbs Wardlow thing be the last thing you see. And it's like, why didn't the triple threat match main event? Why didn't the Jericho match main event? Why did the Jericho match start it? If the whole Colt Cabana thing was just to pop the boys and to make people happy as like a, hey, this is we're past CM Punk now. Like this is I'm sorry guys, whatever, you know? And it's like, I get it, but like, you need to structure these shows better. And if you're going to have the women's match the way that it was, where no one's paying attention to the match, you're just listening to Vicky and Nyla scream on the stage, knock to them. We love Nyla. Like, I love Nyla. We all love Nyla on the show. But it's like, if you're going to do that, have a real women's match on the show in the first hour so we get development. Oh, no, here's just Jamie Hayter and Tony Storm getting announced randomly in the second hour, where if you got up to get a drink of water, you fucking missed it. So it's like, Jackie, drink water. That's a reminder.
I've been drinking water this whole...
We have appreciation for the women's division, and we're big advocates. But man, was that whole women's match from start to finish ever cringe. Especially, sorry. And don't criticize me like you criticized JT. No,
So Tony Khan, we know, has his pulse on the community. He knows what's going on. He's on Twitter a lot. He's responding to people. He's doing this. He's on Busted Open. He knows what's going on. So I know that he knew that the JD from NY thing was happening with all the women in AEW. And you respond to that type of criticism where, listen, I know it's easy to take shots at him. He is a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
In regards to JD. But like, you prove his people right, because he was like, the match is not going to matter. And it didn't. So, like, that was your opportunity to let Jade and Marina have a great match, which I'm sure, like, Marina's not the best, but she's not the worst. You could have got a fun match out of her, right? And it's like, you completely disregard the match by having Nyla on stage, which just proves him, JD, and all of his followers right, that the match didn't matter. So it's like, it's little things. This is why we say every week, he needs help with booking, just because it's too much for any one person to book. What, 60 talents every week? It's insane.
I think it needs a severe overhaul. Help is a bit of an understatement at this point. I think it's just like you said, he's very known for having his finger on the pulse of what's being said about the product. And he is pretty decent at reacting to what people say, and say like, okay, I've heard your criticism. This is how we're going to fix it. But this seems to be the one area that people have been very openly critical about, but has gotten the least amount of response and action from. And it's like, but why? Like, why are you so resistant to actually do some major changes? And it's like, he has the ability and he has the resources to do it, to hire the right people to make the changes. And it's like, are you that prideful to like not hire the right people? Like to like say like, okay, this is out of my depth maybe. And maybe I need to put the right people in place to make the necessary changes to book this thing the right way. And start making these changes that show that I'm putting the amount of effort to show that I care enough to do this and make this division what it could be, because the talent is there. I don't want to hear they don't have the talent to make it happen. The roster is stacked and they could do like some really great things with the roster that already exists. They don't need to hire out any more talent wise, but in terms of like people that can really book the division out properly, he needs the help.
And the whole thing is, so as somebody who used to do an NXT podcast, I think that the perception over the years has changed as to the way the women have developed in WWE, people forget that before the Four Horsewomen were a thing, nobody gave a fuck, right? People forget Bayley before she put the bun in her hair and she was just plain Jane with her hair down with like dull colors. People forget Becky Lynch when before she was like the steampunk Becky Lynch, when she came out and was doing the Irish jig and no one cared, or Sasha, you know, had all these different managers.
I dare anyone to Google Rusev's first gimmick. He literally was like a caveman.
Exactly. Like, you forget what the women had to fight for in NXT, and they were given opportunities. Shout out Jermazing. Shout out Who Got Next. So you forget that these women were given opportunities and they knocked it out of the park. That's all we're asking for here. You have Jamie Hayter, who is one of your most organically built baby faces. The crowd is in love with her without you doing anything from her. They just love her. You can organically build your next star right there, and you're wasting time by just randomly giving her matches. You could have said her versus Riho was the number one contenders match, but you didn't, right? You could have had her have a match in the beginning of the show and be like, yo, I beat Riho. I beat this person tonight. I want Toni Storm. You could have lit that fire under her, and you could have given her an opportunity to pop a rating, but you're not. You're giving the women, I think the Jade match, what did I say it was, 4 minutes? How can the women pop a rating if you're showing me as a fan they don't matter by randomly putting them at, 9:34 on East Coast, and it ended at 9:38? How can I care? You're not showing me that it matters.
Just going to address a comment in YouTube chat. So EJ, I know, again, JD from New York, he runs a podcast, right? And he's verified now. They're his opinions. My piece on it, I didn't see anything wrong with what he did. He was like one of the million other comments in that section that he commented with that everyone attacked him on. I saw some worse things said in that section. Trust me, all he said was no one wants to see it or something like that.
It was more of a, like, I think the women said it. I think Britt said it, or one of the girls said it. Maybe it was Rebel, that like it was like a culmination of things. Like, he's been saying shit for like
that's years, the but that's the women's roster, right? They let the media get to them, and they're not supposed to do that. Yeah. So that was kind of on them too. I mean, I'm not trying to defend JD here. Yeah, he probably could have just not said anything, especially being a verified wrestling media person. But I'm not letting the woman off the hook either. They should just ignore it. It's freaking wrestling Twitter. It's a shithole to begin with. You just ignore it and you move on. You mute him. You know what I mean? But they decided to attack him. But like, people act like he's the only one out there doing this, and he's not. And they just pick on him because he's got a blue check mark.
Yeah, it's a lot worse than people think. But you have to change the perception. Yeah. The women in WWE are perceived as stars because in NXT, they were given the opportunity to perform as stars, and they did. You have a lot of talented women here, and not just American women. You have, you know, UK women. You have the Joshi women. I mean, look, a Joshi woman just won the PWI Power 150 or whatever.
Yeah, like, I'm not saying what he said was right. I'm just saying, like, I'm not going to lie. I was thinking almost the same thing. I'm like, I don't want to see this match. It didn't excite me. We already seen Maria versus Jay. Why were they hyping it up that much? I was like,
exactly.
I don't want
to. Only do what they ended up doing. Like, if they hype it up and it's a good match and it's fun, cool. Hey, we were wrong for not wanting to see the match. But if you hype it up and then you give us what they gave us, it's like, you know, what do you expect us to do? People are not now the next Marina match. You're going to be like, I don't want to see it even more because I gave you a chance to show me and you messed it up. And it's like, so Jade's a baby face now? Like, what is happening?
Yeah, Jade's not supposed to be a baby face.
And Nyla's a heel. And what Nyla's doing is heel-ish. You know what I mean? I don't know. But we can go on this forever. But I want to talk about something fun, something good. So we get a House of Black promo. Now, obviously, big House of Black fans, all of us. Shout out to Nate in the chat. Second biggest House of Black fan I know, the first one being me. Haha, I said it. So there's, you know, all the rumors of Malakai leaving, his buddy unhappy or whatever. Then we saw on their social media earlier this week, they started playing little teasers of the promo that we got tonight. We get this great promo when it's like they're burying the past and they're like being baptized in the water, washing the sins away, washing the poison away. and Julia's coming off like the leader of the House of Black, which I know a lot of people love, would love for her to take that more of a prominent role in the group as like the leader, like kind of leading them into the direction, seeing as she's the only one who ever gets TV time, which is ridiculous because they should all get TV time. But I don't know. It was really exciting. Jackie, I know in your household, everybody went nuts. Everybody went crazy. So what were your thoughts on that promo?
Oh my God. I was like, I got chills. It was like, so I love a very well produced vignette. Like it was just, it was like movie-esque, like just very well done. And the lore of what they're doing here is just, it's amazing. The story that they're telling of a rebirth of the House of Black. And it's kind of like they're insinuating that people were very quick to forget about them or to write them off and forget who they were or what they stood for. And I feel like some of the what they did was a little bit tongue in cheek and may have been taking a little bit of a shot at the, you know, the real life aspect of some of it. But, you know, thinking about the last time that we saw all of them together at All Out, and just thinking about the fact that we weren't sure if we would ever see them make a comeback, period. And there was so many variables and everything was up in the air. This to me is just so damn exciting because I did not want them to go anywhere. I didn't want them to split up. I'm very happy to know that there is prospect of them coming back probably sooner than later. And however they're building this up, with the idea that potentially Julia could be seen as the leader figure. It's very cool stuff, the way that they're playing it. And just side note, I got to watch a little bit of Malachi's Twitch stream last night. He did address some things on a personal note and got to like give a little bit of background as to his absence and stuff. And, you know, talking a little bit about his mental health and what frame of mind he was in. And I just like, I give him a shout out for his vulnerability and his willingness to speak about, you know, why he was gone and putting the truth out there and setting the record straight. So, you know, kudos to him. I can't wait to see them back and in the ring. And it's just, I'm so freaking excited as a House of Black fan. Let's fucking go. I'm ready.
And the whole thing being, don't fuck this up, Tony Khan. Cause like, you know, Malachi wanted to leave. You know, I'm sure the mental health stuff played into it too, but like, you know, I'm sure there's a part of him that's like, you're not fucking booking me. Like, what the fuck? I'm fighting once every couple of months and it's in these trios and tag matches. Like, I want to do more. I want to do something else. And, you know, and it's like, you need to hit it. Like, they are the coolest thing in wrestling, especially with this Bray stuff, like, kind of calming down now and it's getting kind of weird with like Uncle Howdy or whatever the fuck he's doing over there. But it's like, House of Black is just cool. Like, they're just so cool.
I think there's a smart way to do it. Because we know ultimately the Elite are coming back and they're going to most likely, you know, they're going to get the belts back that they never lost.
Mm-hmm.
Right? What way to shoot the House of Black up and do a really cool long trios feud with the Elite with some dark shit with the House of Black would be really, really cool.
Yeah. And or you don't even, if you don't want the Elite to lose the belts like that or whatever, like, yo, have Malachi go against Wardlow, or have, you know, Brody King go against.
Well, Wardlow. I mean, I wouldn't mind that, but like, you can make it a long feud. Like, that could be like the end goal, like this time next year. Just do like a super long feud with those two, and have like mini feuds in between, like a Malachi and Kenny, the Bucks against, or a Malachi and Buddy, or the Bucks against Buddy and maybe Malachi. And then, you know, they know they don't treat their fans stupid. We know Riho and Kenny are together. Bring Riho into the factor to feud with Julia.
Are Riho and Kenny together? They're a couple? Or are they just tag team partners?
I'm almost certain they're a couple.
I thought Kenny was dating Kota.
What?
Well, I swear to God, someone correct me in the chat if I'm wrong.
Like, I'm pretty sure Kenny was dating Kota. No, am I wrong?
I'm almost certain it was Riho.
Riho was like a little girl when he met her. And he like trained her.
Why do I remember someone telling me or I reading something?
No, there's no way. He met Riho when she was super like young and he trained her to be a wrestler. She's like his protege.
Stop it.
And they were a tag team in Japan.
I don't think
what is happening?
Don't quote us on that. That's not verified.
You guys keep talking. I'm gonna look at it.
Listen, that take did not cost $8. That is not a verified take.
they are not. I don't think
Carrie. They're not together. Thank you, Carrie. I don't know what Kyle is talking about.
I swear I read it somewhere. But anyways, they could.
There's no way.
Anyways, I would love to see an Elite and House of Black long term feud.
Now they could really have her involved in it.
They could do a lot of cool stuff though, like even like dark spooky shit if they wanted to bring that element into it.
But they're so fucking cool. Everything they do is cool. A simple promo segment or like a vignette or whatever, and the world is talking. Like everyone was talking about that because like it's just so fucking interesting what they're doing. Like every little thing that they do requires all your attention because it's so entertaining and you're just like, I want to see every second of this. Like I watched the promo again earlier just because like it's just so fucking cool to me. And to hear like Julia Hart on AEW Restricted a few weeks ago talk about how like she loves this and like how much she's into it and how well her and Malakai and Brody King work together and Buddy, like they all like kind of bounce ideas off each other. Like it's a great group dynamic. And I know a lot of people, including myself, assume that maybe Abaddon would be put in this group because they're a spooky group. She's a spooky character.
Yeah, that's right? What I thought too.
But like, actually, Julia was the best thing to happen to them. Like, I think it's really cool. And I'm all for it. I want them to win the Trios titles.
Yes, immediately. That's how oh my God, I'm so excited.
On Rampage tonight. Oh, fuck, Rampage is tonight. Oh my God. Oh, that's too much wrestling. I can't.
Oh, I see where my mistake was, but I'll tell you guys off air. I found it, but it was back in 2021. I'll tell you guys off there.
But yeah, so now the next thing that I want to talk about, because I'm really interested in Jackie's take on this. So we get the daddy ass birthday bash celebration. It's a lot of fun. Everybody's having a great time. Just the Acclaim, they're so over. It's so good.
Oh my God,
it's so much
great.
Fun. And like, so you could talk about that, Jackie, but also talk about the aftermath where FTR, we get the Gun Club, and now we get this like 8-way match, and it's just fucking everything's kind of blending in. And it, like, do you really want to see FTR versus the Gun Club? Like, ugh, what do you think?
No, I don't. That's the short answer. But I mean, the visual that we got at the end of that, where, you know, FTR came out to help the Acclaimed and assist them after that segment was freaking great, by the way. I just want to throw that out there. I think we could spend a whole segment talking about that. But the visual of FTR holding the tag team titles to hand them back to the Acclaimed.
That's a tease.
To me, that's foreshadowing. And I felt a little tingly inside.
But see, why can't they make it a triple threat match? How many fucking triple threat matches did Jurassic Express have?
But how do we know they're not?
Yeah, we would have gotten a graphic. Wouldn't we not have on Wednesday if it was official?
Maybe.
You mean the full gear graphic?
Yeah, because they had them going. We saw two on Wednesday. We already knew that they were the number one contenders.
Maybe Kyle's right, because we did see the graphic for Jamie and Tony, so...
And we saw the main event one.
Mox and MJF.
So, I mean, nothing is set in stone yet. And, you know, we've seen matches pop up at the very last second. So you never know. You never know.
I'm just saying, I swear to God, if I have to watch fucking FTR whoop the Gun Club's ass on fucking the buy-in, I'm going to be pissed off. Like, I want them on the pay-per-view.
But shout out to, what was it? William Daddy with
Oh, my God. The sign. Yeah, the adoption paper said William Daddy.
William Daddy, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, and the line. We have to shout out the line that they were like, oh, we were going to have guests, but, like, three of them were mad that you didn't show
that
up.
That you didn't show up at the reunion.
Yeah. God, that was a perfect shot.
That was gold.
And I'm Phil, I'm shocked you haven't done it yet. We spent already now like.
You know what's funny, Kyle? Brittany hates it too.
Me and Brittany will get along then.
Brittany fucking hates when I do that shit. She gets so mad at me. And I do it all the time.
And any Star Wars fans love that sign. Even Max Caster went, the camera cut away, but Max Caster went up to that MJF General Grievous sign and was like laughing and trying to hold it. And the camera guy, they cut to the other camera. I'm like, oh yeah. No.
Yeah.
It was like walks like General Grievous on his way to watch hentai or something like that.
I love the fact that Max Caster always flirts with MJF on Twitter. Media.
Yeah.
Oh my god, top tier entertainment. Even when even when I was hating on the freaking Acclaimed, that was the shit that still popped me. That was the thing that could have gotten them over with me was freaking Max Caster hitting on MJF.
So top we got tier gold. Jay in the chat saying there's kids scissoring at his elementary school that he teaches at, and he doesn't know whether to stop them or join in. It is the new suck it. It's this generation.
It's a new too sweet. It's taking over. It's taking over the Phillies. The Phillies are doing it.
Yep.
It's
shout out to Ant.
Yeah. It's they're becoming naturally over, and this is good. You put these guys on TV. If you want to gain a bigger audience, you freaking catapult the Acclaimed, and they have to be in daddy ass because you know the term daddy.
They have to be in.
The term daddy is just is over in general with this generation, right? That's how you're going to get the kids and the teenagers to start watching AEW now and grow up with it is to relate to them in some way. Now,
what are the Acclaimed? This goes back to everything we've been saying so far. They're new talent that you gave an opportunity to, and they knocked it out of the fucking park. That's all AEW needs to be as the alternative. That is what's different. Right, WWE is great at what they do, but they make carbon copies of what worked in the past and they just modernize it. Where AEW is doing things that hasn't been done in a long time or things that have been done for the first time. And that's what made NXT so popular with wrestling fans. And that's what makes AEW so good. Yeah. So more of the Acclaimed.
Can I just say something real quick? If they want to, I know we saw last night they featured Lamar Jackson, which is great. Lamar Jackson was talking about AEW at the Baltimore practice the day after, and people were mentioning the Jericho stuff. Fantastic. It's a way to get, you know, known out there. The other big thing they did on Wednesday, which got a lot of traction, I saw AEW get this clip shared on, like, every hip-hop platform that I follow on Twitter.
Was
Rick Ross stuff.
Uh-huh.
And it was, he is gold. You bring that guy back anytime to AEW TV because he was perfect backstage.
Well, so for people who don't know, and we haven't gotten confirmation on this, but I'm sure just like all the other hip-hop acts, it's Swerve. Swerve is the one who has these relationships. Swerve is the one bringing them in, just further proving that Swerve, in my opinion, should be world champion next year. At the end of next year, I want Swerve as a major champion. Now, maybe it's not world champion. That's too crazy to think of, but I need him to be a TNT champion then and be all over TV because like Kyle is saying, I work with a lot of younger kids in their early 20s who, you know, are big hip-hop heads who do not watch wrestling, who are not wrestling fans, and they know I am, and they come up to me like, yo, I heard Rick Ross was on there, or I heard, what was the other guy that was on there? There's like a ton of rappers.
Well, the guy that sings Hook's theme song literally wrestled a match with
Action Bronson. Yeah exactly. But it's like,
Shaq was on it. But Mike Tyson's going to be there tonight.
You know what I mean? Like, it's a market that WWE has always kind of shied away from. And I know like they had Migos in the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. But like, it's crazy to say this, but it seems more, it seems realer in AEW. Like it seems more genuine. Like it seems like these people are being brought in for the right reasons with Swerve. Like it's kind of building.
Yeah.
On the segments, and it's like, oh, well, yeah, Swerve is in the hip-hop industry. He raps. He's friends with producers that have won Grammys and produced for Kanye. So, like, it's more organic, where WWE is like, here are these stars. You know, oh, we're Randy Orton fans. Like, are you? Or, you know what I mean? Like, you're just trying to pop the ratings. So it's like, I don't know. I think it's cool. I think it's great. And it's bringing in, like Kyle said, the younger demographic who may not watch wrestling, and it's being shared everywhere on these hip-hop sites.
Right, it was in Rick Ross like Adam said, it's a great promo,
and he was hilarious too because he was like super into it. Yeah. He's like yelling at Keith Lee. People are showing the things.
It became a meme. Yeah. Came in. What did he say? He was like, accusations, false accusations.
Well, did you see the picture that got shared where he was like leaning over the barricade and taking a picture with his phone? And like Carrie said, yeah, West Side Gun performed Daniel Garcia's theme. You know, West Side Gun is a huge rapper in the Buffalo area. They had a little Scrappy on 1 week, and when they were in Atlanta, like, keep doing this. Like, this is good. This is what makes you stand out. This is what makes you the alternative.
Yeah, no, it's smart. It's smart. I loved Rick Ross. Man, he can come back, because sometimes when they bring in a non-wrestling celebrity, it could hit or miss, right? You never know if it's going to hit. So far, it's hit so far. AEW's been Mike Tyson, another story, but so far with the others, I don't know what Mike Tyson's going to do. He's on commentary, but I'm like, oh boy. Oh my God, have the bleep button ready on cue for God. Mike Tyson, because I don't know how that's going to be controllable, man. Or just no, I'm not bad to say. I'm going to say have his mic muted and just tell him it's on.
It's fucked up. Yo, Kyle, why are you trying to create enemies with Mike Tyson, bro?
I don't want him, he'll knock my ass out.
Well, as we're getting to that hard out time, so let's, because this is a shorter show this week. Anything else about this show that you want to talk about, Kyle?
Not really. Again, like I said in the beginning of the show, it was an okay Dynamite. I know, like, not they don't hit every week, and this was one of those episodes. Again, the beginning was, deflating balloon that it was Jeff Jarrett. I was really hoping for someone else. You know, to be honest, I was really hoping that was Sting behind him that was going to attack him, because that would have been...
That's what I was hoping for, too.
That would have been a crazy, crazy moment, and I thought it was Sting at first, too, but it was Cole Carter, right? I'm like, okay, they're going to do this right now, but, you know. Anyways, the rest of the show...
Also, Adam, before we forget, that triple threat match was great, and I'm hyped for Shibata versus Orange Cassidy tonight.
Oh, man, when the music started, I'm like, wait, I heard this, and I was at Forbidden Door Live. That's why I heard it. I just didn't clue in right away. And then as soon as the camera pan saw the Titantron, I'm like, oh, shit, Shibata's here. Oh, man.
How cool is it that Shibata, you know, it's being reported now that Shibata says he wants to wrestle two matches in AEW.
Yeah.
One is Bryan Danielson and one is Orange Cassidy. Like, that shows you props, the level of respect that Orange Cassidy has in the locker room. And I know a lot of people, you know, over the last year, it's Ant on our show has come around on him. And it's like a lot of people look at him as just a joke character. But, like, Orange Cassidy can actually go, and people love working with him.
He's one of their best wrestlers on the on the roster right now.
And he's one of the most popular and highest selling wrestlers.
Look at the kids. Like, kids dresses him all ringside. There was like five of them at ringside on Wednesday dressed as Orange Cassidy. He was nuts.
Over like Rover, baby.
Yeah.
It's the whitest thing I've ever heard you say. Christ. Jackie, any final thoughts on Dynamite?
It was not the greatest episode for me. And even on paper, looking at it, going to it, I was like, okay, I'm not ready for it to like, I wasn't excited about it. I wanted to love it, but I really didn't. But you're not going to love every episode. That's just that's the long and short of it. But I'm hoping that next week will be better. I don't know. That's all I can say about it. It can only go up from here. They need to work on the formatting, because I think if they had balanced it out, if they had rearranged the matches a little bit in a different order, I feel like the flow could have been better, and that may have saved it slightly, but they didn't, and that's what we got out of it. But just with the pending returns, with the pending return of the Elite, House of Black, there are some exciting things on the horizon. Full Gear is coming around the corner. I think there's some stuff to look forward to. Yes, we're all going to be there.
We're all going to be there. So if you guys are going to Full Gear in the Newark.
In the Newark era, because that's what Excalibur says. I think Excalibur I think I should be trusting what Excalibur said. He says everything
correctly. So if you're in the area and you're at the show, come up to us, say hi to us. Well, or just come up to Jackie. Like, we know all of you are going to anyway. but speaking of next week, 11/11, which falls on a Friday. A 1 year anniversary from when all four of us got together and created this great thing and took Elite POV to a whole new level, which I have dubbed 11/11 every year, the official Elite POV day. We have some great stuff that we are starting to slowly plan for you guys. It may be a longer stream. We want to do giveaways, so make sure you tell a friend to tell a friend that that's the live show you want to tune into.
It might be a half a day thing, to be honest. I got some other stuff planned for that day. So
listen, Kyle has some really cool stuff. Stay tuned to the Twitch, to YouTube. We got a lot of stuff, a lot of ideas we want to start doing. We want to really celebrate this and make this a yearly thing, right? Mm-hmm. You guys have helped us so much this year. You know, you are the reason why we got to go to All Out in Chicago and have all that fun. You know, we did the Ty interview. We did the FTR interview. You guys showed us a ton of love on that. We got a ton of views on both of those. And you guys have been great for us all year. We want to give back to you guys and have a lot of fun and start to kind of revamp and kind of push for the next year. We're getting to the end of the year. We're going to finish strong, and we're going to start even stronger next year. Also, Patreon, me and Kimmy have a show coming. Make sure you check that out. And Kyle has all this free time now. So Kyle is out here fucking dishing out shows. Like,
yeah, me and Jack are in continued Let's Talk. Me and Kimmy are bringing back K2.
Yeah.
That's...
Kimmy's like the honorary oos of
of Patreon.
Of Elite POV.
Honorary oos.
Yeah. The honorary oos of Elite POV.
And Little's one,
real oosie.
But Little's $1, guys. Oosie. $1 supports the show.
$1 gets you in.
Yep. And then I still got to update this page because there's a lot of stuff in the bottom there. It doesn't exist anymore. But
Listen, we're a work in progress. All right. We have a lot going on, like we said. But we do appreciate all the support. Like, we appreciate you guys tuning in today. If you want to follow the show on Twitter and Instagram, it's at @ElitePOV, twitch.tv/ElitePOV, youtube.com/ElitePOV. And for anybody who runs a YouTube channel, I forgot to tell you guys this. YouTube sent out an email where they are now changing the way it's working. They're making it more, I guess, accessible because of shorts. So you can add an @. So coming soon, it'll be youtube.com/@ElitePOV, I think they want us to do. That's the email that I got. Yeah, so it's different. Weird. It's, well, they just adding the
ads. Throwing darts at the wall. We'll see what sticks.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. But so, and then also patreon.com/ElitePOV. Get all that great content, like we said. But Jackie, let them know where they can follow you.
You can follow me on Twitter at @LoveYouMake24.
The real LoveYouMake24.
Oh my God. Yes. Like, now that it's just me and not my clones running around, and you can follow me on Instagram at @JacksTheDrawPOV. Also, I want to make a quick announcement. Tomorrow at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, please tune in to twitch.tv/HempUT. Because Nate and Dan are going to be running their charity stream.
I will be there.
Yes, they are going to be doing a Fortnite, and they're going to be doing a cash giveaway. I think it's going to be, I think they're doing like a 50-50 raffle. But the bottom line is they're doing a charity stream for Nate's surgery coming up in December. So we would love to raise money, and it's for a great cause. So twitch.tv/HempUtee is the place to be, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Did you mean to rhyme that?
I'm a poet, and I didn't know it.
Jackie.
Oh, my God.
That's our baby.
And we're going to be working on a fundraiser for you too, Nate. We haven't forgotten.
Yeah.
So we got Kyle. Let them know where they can follow you.
Totally forgot what my was that. At @AllElite Kyle on Twitter. You can follow me there. Not doing any EFED stuff anymore, so I got more time for Elite POV. So tune into Elite POV or twitter.com/ElitePOV. I'm going to be tweeting a lot of updates, what's coming to the channel. Again, I have some cool stuff planned for 11-11 next week, so guys, keep an eye out on there because I'll make some announcements probably after the weekend, starting Monday, about some stuff that's going to come next Friday.
Let's finish the year strong together. Let's have some good times. Like I said, if you're in Jersey, hit us up. Pay attention to the social media. Thank you guys for watching another episode of Elite POV. And remember, you don't need a hat to be a cowboy. Get well soon, Hangman.
There's a voice that keeps on calling me. So if you want to join
Nice work, everyone. Sharp broadcast. Really good. Everyone on the floor as well. Really a lot.